Yeah, I love how God plans a worship service because this last verse is exactly what we're going to talk about. High King of Heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. And I also didn't know, because as we're going through the Gospel of John, I did not know the lesson for today was Romans 8, that we are more than conquerors for Him who loved us. I also did not know that today we'd have the kids from VBS singing about winning the race and being winners in life. And the theme for today, taken from our scripture today, is joyful victory. That no matter what happens in life, we can feel like real losers in our stinking thinking. But God, through His Holy Spirit, and through His Word, and through Jesus Christ, our wonderful, blessed Savior, wants to encourage us today. He wants to encourage His disciples. On the night before Jesus was going to be crucified, and here He's thinking about His disciples, not about Himself, before the horror of the cross. But He wants to encourage us today, whether we're here, through the internet, or wherever. May the Holy Spirit encourage each one of us, myself included, with the words not of mine, but of His. God's holy word, because it's His word we proclaim. It's His word we love. It's His word we share. That's all we have. This is what we have, is the word of the Lord. Amen? Well, today we look at John 16. And we've had this racing theme all week with Vacation Bible School, winning the race. And we're going to have the kids talk about that. And they've had race cars. We had little soapbox cars, Indy cars, and I brought my little model here. I did not make this, but I've got a few of these, and I've been to various races, quite a few actually, whether here or other parts of the country. And one thing about racing is that it takes a lot of work, a lot of money, a lot of effort, a lot of teamwork. It takes a lot of power nowadays. You got to have a strong engine. And we've had a race car driver come in our church, a Christian Morgan Shepherd, talk about it. And I was on his pit crew, didn't know what I was doing, just tried to get out of the way. I was on the track. Had a lot of experiences in racing, watching races. And some of you have been race car drivers in our church. We have two in our church. But what the neat thing is going to Victory Circle. I've been in Victory Circle maybe three or four times with the drivers and the pit crew. And it's an awesome experience. The fireworks go off and everybody's happy at the end. Well, not everybody. I should qualify that. Only that team is happy. 42 other drivers are not so happy. But everybody affiliated with that race crew and that driver are very happy. And they take pictures for like 45 minutes and they want to savor every minute of it before they have to haul all the equipment in the trailer and go to another destination and start all over again and try to win another victory. And except for Jimmy Johnson, it's not easy to win. It seems like for him it's been very easy the last 5 years. But anyway, I digress. Not actually, because that is the theme is winning. Not winning a race of life here, or a race car, or a Super Bowl, or whatever, but it's winning the race of life, eternal life, right? And what is so glorious is that the victory's already been won. And that's, I'm starting at the end of my sermon, sort of working back. So let's go to John 16, verse 16. Jesus is continuing what Pastor Rick talked about last Sunday. He says this, in a little while, you will see me no more, and in a little while you will see me. Now, what is Jesus trying to do here? Trying to play word games? He knows His disciples could not handle, if He just told them all out, although He tried before, what's going to happen tomorrow. So He just says, in a little while you're not going to see me, but in a little while you will. You're going to be a little upset, actually a lot upset, but take heart, hang in there, because this is not the end of the story. And you know what? Sometimes we forget that what we live in now, this is not the end of the story. We feel like what we feel now, what we experience now, who we are now is the end. This is not the end, unless God calls you home. Not the end, right? And the prevailing thought in our society today is defeat, disappointment, our economy, the world, what's going on, the churches even sometimes. And I remember Hal giving a great presentation, I'm glad he's here today, on what the church can be and should be. And but sometimes it's not all it should be. Sometimes I'm not all I should be. Neither are you, I might say. But because we have a Savior who is in His wonderful grace has died for us, He gives us what we don't have. And that's Christianity. It's not trying to be a good person. It's getting from Him, receiving from Him what we don't have, what we aren't. I'm not all that I should be. And so Pastor Rick has to remind me and all of us together as the lead pastor, who be who you are in Christ. Remember who you are in Christ. But that's not part of my sermon. That's just extra. Thank you. Holy Spirit just told me to say that. But in a little while, Jesus said, you'll see me. In a little while, you won't see me. And Martin Luther has some great quotes about this. And he just talks about the fact that they couldn't handle all this. But what he's saying in this, and Luther has some great words, as he has throughout the Gospel of John and other places. For this reason, St. John devotes so many words to the subject that it probably seems to be futile and useless palaver. But he wants to point out that it is Christ's purpose to impress on them thoroughly the greatness of the miracle of his death and his resurrection, and thus to give them a reason for asking about this. When he says, a little while you'll see me, a little while you won't see me, like trying to get their thinking, what is he talking about? A little while this, a little while that. And so they start asking one another, what is he talking about? What is he talking? It's this, and Jesus uses this phrase, I'm going to the Father. I'm going back to the Father. And Philip Yancey, he believes that Jesus' favorite holiday was not Easter or Christmas, but Ascension Day, because Jesus got to go back to his Father on Ascension Day, right? And the throne was empty, and Jesus gets to occupy that throne that was empty since the day of when he was born in a baby in a manger. And now he occupies the throne at the right hand of the Father, and he's going back to his Papa, his Dada, his Father. And he says, I'm going back to my Father. And I know he said it with such endearment, as he's thinking of all the horror of the next day, but he's looking beyond it to the joy set before him of being back with Dad, homecoming in heaven with all the angels, and being back with the Trinity, although the Trinity was within them, certainly, but with all the majesty and all the glory. So that's what Jesus is saying. I'm going back to the Father. I can't wait. I am so excited. Yes, I was born. I came down to born as a baby, and we say it in the Apostles' Creed, all of that. That's what Jesus came to do. But he came to die. He was on a mission, right? What's your mission, by the way? Do you know your purpose in life? Find it. Discover it. Use it. And then your life and our life, my life, will have purpose and meaning. Amen? All right, so that's verse 16. And then some of the disciples said to one another, what is this he's talking about? A little while this and a little while that. And they were kind of asking a lot of questions. And Jesus knew what they wanted to ask in verse 19. And I got a lot to cover here today. So he said to them, is this what you're asking yourselves when I meant by saying a little while this, and you'll see me, and again a little while you won't see me? Truly I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You'll be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy. In the joyful victory, sometimes we forget who we are in Christ, that the victory's already been won, right? We're on the winning side. You know how the story ends. You've read hopefully the last chapter of the book. Right? And as long as you stay faithful to Jesus, close to Him, you win. It's already been assured. But we don't act like that. I don't act like that. I act like, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know, man. Every day. Like I'm just, I don't know. We live like losers. But we can take that off and put it with a W. Winner. Because of Jesus Christ, we can put a W over our forehead and others instead of an L for loser. No matter what the world says, or our family says, or our employer says, or anybody says, who does God say you are? That's what's more important, right? And He says, I have loved you with everlasting love. You're my children. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. And that which is a great news. So, but Jesus says you're going to be weeping, you're going to lament, you're going to be sad, you're going to be unhappy, while the world's just having a party. They're having a great time. I always think of Good Friday, you know, we have our somber service. I remember one time in Curcio when we went out and walked around the community and we had a procession with our sins and that were in a brazier, sort of, ready to be burnt in the cross. And it was a very solemn time, like Good Friday. And the rest of the world around us on Friday nights hooping it up, having a great time. Honking their horns, having a great party, and totally oblivious of the solemnity of that Friday evening. In the same way, when Jesus was being crucified, the world went on like, just it's a regular day, no big deal. And the disciples are going, what happened to our Master? What do we do now? We count on Him. He's always been there for us, and now He's not. And now He's dead, and He was crucified. Even though He warned them, they didn't get it, right? This is part of the plan. And the same with us. What we go through, the bad times, is part of the plan. It's not that He says, oh, I think I'll make life miserable for Doc and Liz and for you and you and you and you. And oh boy. And God, obviously not. Satan does that. But God turns it around and says, okay, you want to do that? we'll turn it into good. Bruce falling off a ladder, wait do you see what I can do through that, you know? And so that he gets the glory through everything, and I mean everything we go through, and I have to tell myself that. Everything. He turns around. All things work together for good, those who love. That's what Doc just read, right? On pages 1118 or whatever it was. He'd read that, and that's God's Word. Put that, inscribe it on your heart, and my heart will do that, okay? The Bible says this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. It also says in the Word of God, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And this isn't positive thinking. Positive thinking, like from The Secret and things like that, is that you're God. And you just work it up, and whatever you think about will happen. That's not what we're saying. The Bible warns us about that. Our hope is in the Lord who made heaven and earth. Our help is in the name of the Lord who died and rose again and ascended on high. Our help is in the name of the Lord and giver of life, the Holy Spirit, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who is worshipped and glorified, who brings you to faith, who fills you with hope, fills you with faith and joy. That's who our hope is in, not in ourselves. But that has to be said. So, Jesus warns them, you're going to have some tough times. A little while, you're going to weep. And he gives the illustration of a woman in childbirth. Far be it from me to give that example. But it's painful watching it, I tell you that, as a father. But I can't imagine going through this. It's a good thing we don't have to give kids. Because there wouldn't be any kids in this world. We'd just say, thank you, too much pain. But from what I understand, moms, that sorrow and that severe pain is forgotten soon, right? When you have that bundle of joy. Oh, man, I'm just thinking when my daughter and my son were born, happiest days of my life, just looking at that creation of God. Wow, pretty cool. And those eyes are looking up at me. But the joy takes away the sorrow. The sorrow is gone. And Jesus says, in the same way you go through rough times, hang in there. In our vernacular, he says, hang in there. Don't give up. And it's so easy for us to give up. And sometimes, let's face it, we get pounded. Boom, bam, 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 bam. And like you can't even get a chance to breathe sometimes, right? Well, we got to take time to breathe. I realized that yesterday. I can't go 7 days a week. I have got to take time to breathe and rest. We all need to do that. And Greg Alborn always says, take at least 15 minutes a day to have a little break. And then take a day off, and then later, every few months or quarter, take some time off to get away. And I think that's wise advice. Because otherwise, we get tired and work hard and hot and get grumpy, right? Take our vision off Jesus. At least I get grumpy. You don't? Okay, if you guys don't. But anyway, we can get grumpy and look down and start looking down. I remember the president of our congregation in St. Louis, he talks about, and he was a very confident guy, we'll say that. And he was at a grocery store. And first of all, we saw a big bruise on his head. And he didn't want to talk about it. Finally, he did. Like, how that happened? Well, he was walking down, and he ran right into a light post. Right, bam, right into this. He's looking down, thinking about his problems. And we can do that, right? We're trying to find light in our circumstances, the light of Jesus to lighten the way. And we're looking down, and the light's right in front of us, the light post of the Bible, and it smacks us right in the head. And we're not looking up. The Bible says, look, seek those things that are above, not those things that are here on earth. How come I forget that? I forgot it yesterday. I forgot this morning. I have to be reminded all the time, look up. Look up. Don't look down. Don't look back either. It's hard to walk like this. That's not going to be good either, right? You have to look to the goal. And if I take my eyes off a goal, like a driver, race car driver, going 250 miles an hour, if he's old, there's Martha in the stands. I like that shirt. He has to focus. And we have to focus as well, right? Amen. All right. Well, God's Word is so powerful. And it's so Jesus loves us so much. And he's so loving toward his disciples. He's thinking of them all the time here. He's saying, and Luther talks about this. He says, you know, a young couple, and we don't have any real young couples contemplating marriage for good, because they got all these hopes and dreams of how wonderful it's going to be, and they just think their Prince Charming is going to always be Prince Charming. 5 o'clock in the morning, all day long, will be sick or whatever, throwing up, oh, he's still wonderful. And she's just the princess that's always going to be beautiful, never have curlers, never have a bad day, always wake up beautiful. And how can I help you today, honey? How can I serve you today? And with that mindset, or someone is elected in office in government, they think it's going to be wonderful, have all the adulation of people. And Lucas says, and then God turns the tables, and then you find out what life is really like for being a pastor. It's all going to be glory, and every Sunday like Easter. Every day is like Easter. And Luther talks about it in very poignant words of how God uses that to focus on Him, that He's the only true joy giver that will not disappoint. That all these other things are wonderful. Marriage is great. Being government's great. But they have limitations. And the only true joy is in Jesus that never diminishes. Sports, racing, having a good time are fine. Parties, whatever, fine. But don't forget the ultimate joy. And that's what Jesus is talking about here when He talks about this joy that you'll have that no one can take away. Verse 22. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. Don't let anybody take away your joy in Jesus. Don't let a church member, don't let a pastor, don't let anybody, or Satan, circumstances, I don't care what it is. Don't, and remind me of the same thing too, okay? No one can take away our joy. And there's a lot of things that we'd love to, right? Grabbing, just trying to distract us. Satan's, he's trying all the time to find strategies, I know. But here we have a sanctuary, a place of rest where we can get fueled up. This car needs ethanol. And when it has that fuel in there, it can really, really move fast. In the same way, once we get fueled up with God's go power, we're going to talk about with the kids, we're fueled up right now with the Holy Spirit and His Word and faith where others are with us. We're not alone because it's not good to be alone. Then we got to, we're all on the same team. We're like a pit crew for one another. And you all can bring something to the car, to the church is like a car. And somebody can do the tires, somebody does the fuel, somebody gives the driver water, somebody helps out with all different things, what their specialty is, and they all work the same goal. Instead of someone saying, no, I don't like this tire, I think this should go over here, no, it should go over there. No, we're all working for the same goal for this car to be in first place. In the same way, we are all on the same goal for the church move forward and upward toward God instead of downward on the world, right? And when you have people in the church on the same page, the same goal, trying to win for Jesus and not for themselves, that's when the church is explosive and it's a lot of fun to be in. And where God's presence just permeates a place like right now, and it is a joy. Amen. Amen. Well, Jesus moves on. And I love this, Pastor Rick, verse 29. Then the disciples, Jesus' disciples said, now you're speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things and you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God. Just a couple chapters ago, Philip says, well, if you show us the Father, we'll be satisfied. Now, two chapters later, they go, oh, now we get it. Now we believe. After 3 years of intensive seminary, it's like a seminary student, he's graduating from seminary, says, oh, now I believe in Jesus. After 4 years of seminary, now you finally, the light went, well, at least it went on, right? At least it went on. But anyway, the light bulb goes off, finally. I bet Jesus goes, that's a little close because he's going to die the next day. They say, oh, we finally get it now. And then Jesus in verse 31 says, you believe at last. Jesus answered, but a time is coming and has come when you will all be scattered, each to his own home. You'll leave me all alone. Yet I'm not alone. For my Father is with me. Again, it's all about the Father. He's going to the Father, but even now the Father's with him. And in the movie, The Passion of Christ, there's a point where Jesus, in the middle of the horrible suffering, looks up and I think he sees a dove in the sunlight. And he looks up in the middle of that horrible, horrible day. Yeah, Good Friday, right? And he looks up to his Father. And he says, okay, God, Father, you want me to do this? Give me the strength. I'll do it for you, and I'll do it for them. And he does it for us, right? Even when he's all alone. And he says to his disciples, and he says to us in verse 33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. That in me you may have peace. And there's all kinds of wonderful passages about peace, just like victory. sort of like having a peaceful victory. We have victory because of the peace we have through Jesus Christ. The Bible says, now that we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're no longer at war because Jesus has brought us to a holy God, that we don't get closer to the bridge is Jesus Christ, and only Jesus Christ, because of His righteousness, of His death, His resurrection. His life becomes our life. His joy becomes our joy. His hope becomes our hope. His love becomes our love. His life becomes our life, not ours. The tragedy of the church is we try to work that up and be holy and religious. We can't be holy enough. Can't be religious enough. Right? No. Okay, good. Glad you agree with that. It's all Jesus Christ. And finally, as we talk about the joyful victory, some great words for us to memorize and to remind each other of, he says this. Now, he's a realist. Jesus is not some pie in the sky, because he starts it with this. In this world, you might have trouble, or some of you have trouble. No. In this world, you will have trouble. And I believe the word there is the same word that they use to squeeze the oil out of olives. That takes a lot of pressure. It's affliction. It's pressure. He's saying in this world, you'll have pressure. You will have trouble. But it doesn't stop there, that verse, right? That's the reality. A reality TV, if you will. And sometimes we feel like, where are the cameras? What's going on here? That's the reality. But he says, but take heart, or be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He says this before he even died. It's already a fact, right? Just thought of that. He's saying this on Monday, Thursday. I have overcome the world. Because the Bible talks about that the Lamb was sacrificed and slain from the foundations of the world from eternity. It was all God's plan. Right? And so finally, Luther has some very comforting words here. He says this, "Do not be overawed, but confidently overawe those who want to plague and torture you. For their plaguing, torturing, frightening shall become your joy and delight, your garden of delight." And he talks about the fact that the battle's already won. He says, "And I am not saying these words for me." He's paraphrasing Jesus. "These words are meant for you. They're not for my benefit. Listen to these words. I'm doing this for you. And I have you in mind. I have your best interest at heart." And Luther says, "For this victor has accomplished everything. There is nothing for us to add to what he's done. Neither the blotting out of our sin, nor victory over death and the devil. Everything's already been laid low. Henceforth, our suffering and fighting are no real battle. They're only a prize or part of the glory of the victory, of this victory. For our suffering, yes, the suffering and the blood of all the martyrs and saints would not gain the victory for us. It's impossible for us to defeat and trample underfoot sin, death, and hell by what we do." He says, rather, it's what Jesus Christ has done for us. And this is what matters. That the Holy Spirit reminds the hearts of many of these words, and thus give them the strength to suffer everything and to die even in reliance on Christ's victory. In Him we can say, "I have a victor. I have a champion over the world, over death and the devil. No matter how small or weak I am or feel, it's all in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone." He gives us the victory. And we praise Him, we thank Him. And Luther also talks about the fact of all these saints, of young teenage girls, triumphantly and joyfully going to death, being burned alive for their faith in Jesus, and how courageously they would defy all the government and all the religious leaders who demand they would defy Jesus, who came with all their intimidation and all their power on this earth. And these little teenage girls, weak and fragile though they were, had a strong, triumphant faith with a smile on their face, suffered. And Luther said, "How did these little teenage girls do it?" He says, "Well, it wasn't them. It was Jesus. The courage came from Jesus. The victory came from Jesus. And they knew that. And that's all that mattered. And they knew that they could entrust even that suffering to Jesus." And I'm talking to myself. Can't we entrust everything that we go through to Him who is the victor? The checkered flag's been flown already. This is after the race. The victory has been won in the war. We're just mopping up. I know it doesn't feel like that, but it is. And so let's pray to Him. Oh, one more thing real quick. I meant to have a slideshow of the pictures of Joplin, Missouri. I was there about, as you know, probably about a month, 3 weeks ago. The devastation was incredible, and I think I'm going to try to email you the pictures. All this devastation, and there's one place in particular where I see this girl's little rocking horse. I see keychains, and I see bricks and wood. This is just a couple weeks ago, and it's still a mess. There's bulldozers all over, but still a mess everywhere. Mile after mile, 8,000 buildings destroyed, 150 people killed. And there's devastation, and it gets overwhelming when you see all this devastation. It's hard, you can't take it all in. And it got to me a little bit. But what also got to me was the joy and the faith of those people. And seeing a sign at a hardware store, one said, "Thank you, volunteers, for all you do." I saw that all over the place. And one that said, "God bless Joplin," with the American flag over this high school, where it was Hope High School, and only the OP were left on the sign. But in the middle of it, there is hope. And then I thought, to get away from it, I'd go to a baseball game in Dallas, Texas, Arlington. And there I see a fan fall to his death and had that imprint on my mind. But through all that, all the tragedies we see in life, Jesus says, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Now let's pray. This one picture I wanted to show, this is a picture of an eagle. And it looks like it has contrails of a jet coming out of it. And it's a real picture. It's not photoshopped or anything like that. The guy said he took this, and there obviously was a jet behind the eagle. But the Bible says, we just sang it, that we go on wings like an eagle. And I'll try to send this to you as well. But we are like an eagle with the power of God that is more powerful than any jet engine. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray for that now. Lord God, we pray for the church. We pray for this world. We pray for this nation. We pray for the state, that you would give us your power. Lord Jesus, we just get wiped out sometimes and so defeated in our thinking. Help us to look up. To look up to you. To look beyond the horizon, beyond all that around us, the day-to-day garbage we go through of this daily life of tribulations and sorrow and disappointment and grief. And Lord, help us to take time to rest in you, to remind each other, remind ourselves that we have the victory. That you, Lord, Holy Spirit, through Paul said, "Oh death, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting?" Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, remind us, Lord, in the dark times that the light is still shining. That even though there's clouds around us, the sun is still shining above the clouds. And that you shine into our hearts, and you'll never leave us. And you've won the victory for us. You've overcome the world and everything around us. Help us to cling to you, Jesus, for all you're worth, because you're worth everything. Help us to cling to you, to be desperate for you, to hold on to you, Lord, your word, to be praying the Lord's Prayer, to be praying our prayers with fervency. And it's so easy to give up and get tired of praying, but Lord, that's our connection to you. So strengthen that connection to you, the champion, Lord. We want to be on the winning side, and we are. Help us to stay on that side and bring others in on the party and join the party of celebration. In Jesus' name we proclaim. It's in Jesus' name we pray. It's in Jesus' name we live. Amen.